If millions of Earthmen start focusing their attention, their thoughts and feelings upon fearful disasters, they will put into effect cosmic forces which will tend to bring them about. Regarding our advanced brothers and sisters in the spaceships, once we understand that they are coming in love and brotherhood to help us avoid mistakes and to help usher us into a great new age, this should not be a cause of fear but of great rejoicing. Not all of the prophecies of the future are dire and foreboding. Many of them refer to a glorious new age in which the finest hopes and longings of mankind shall be fulfilled. We are now witnessing the start of this great age. Why not dwell on these things? And whatever events take shape in the future, the presence of our elder brothers in the spaceships is a constant reminder to us that we are never alone, and that help on high, even on a cosmic scale, awaits us if we need it. What an interesting and glorious time to be alive upon this earth. Chapter 31. The Golden Age. On our pilgrimage we were amazed to find widespread reference to a great new age. Everywhere we found people in all walks of life talking about the new age. Among the humble and inarticulate it took the form of a feeling rather than words, a feeling of great expectancy, an expectancy of mighty changes ahead in the world. Among the articulate, it took on more definite forms of expression extending into scientific, philosophical, religious and prophetic concepts. The flying saucer fraternity is alive with enthusiasm for New Age concepts. What is the meaning of it all, this widespread feeling, belief and even conviction of a mighty new era into which our Earth is heading? What unseen forces of intuition, inspiration and spontaneous knowledge are at work preparing mankind everywhere for coming changes on a cosmic scale? The situation fascinated us. We have studied it from every possible angle in order to educate ourselves on what is going on. In the paragraphs which follow we shall try briefly to share with our readers a sort of composite word picture of this new age which we have found dawning in the minds and hearts of mankind everywhere we have gone. Our picture has been pieced together from so many sources, from both individuals and groups, that it would be impractical to pinpoint all the sources or segregate their individual contributions. Let us now look at some of the details of this composite picture of the great new age on Earth. Is there such a thing as a new age? Definitely yes. Man's view of life on Earth is limited to spans of a few decades. His knowledge of history only goes back a few thousands of years at most. From a cosmic viewpoint, however, life exists in vast cycles of what man calls time. Everything in life goes through cycles of existence. Even planets, suns, solar systems, 260 turns and galaxies, but some of these cycles extend into thousands and millions of years of time as we know it. Everything is a cosmic destiny, a birth, an evolution, a passing and a rebirth, and these events occur in great cosmic cycles. A new age, or a golden age as it is often called on this planet, is a recurring event, a cycle of some thousands of Earth years. During a golden age the planet itself and all of the life it supports go through an accelerated period of cosmic progress, a definite step up in physical, mental and spiritual evolvement. A golden age is a tremendous thing. It represents Chang'e in every phase of planetary existence. A planet is not a dead thing, as we have said before. It is a living body with an evolving life of its own. And during a golden age it undergoes vast changes. Every form of mineral, animal, vegetable and human life upon it also goes through vast changes. Thus a planetary golden age has many interwoven aspects, phases and ramifications. Many synonyms are now in use to refer to this particular new age and they represent the various aspects or phases. Examples of these synonyms and what we have learned about a few of them are as follows. New Age synonyms. 1. The New Age, 2. The New Era, 3. The Atomic Age, 4. The Aquarian Age or Water Age, 5. Pisces to Aquarius, 6. The Cosmic Age, 7. Entering a higher vibration, 8. Entering a higher radiation, 9. Higher frequency. We have already entered. 10. entering a new density. 11. A new dimension of time. 12. The Golden Age. 13. The Mental Age. 14. The Spiritual Age. 15. A Higher Plane of Consciousness. 16. The Age of Progress. 17. The Age of Glory. 18. The Millennium. This new age. We are now in it. When did it start? From one prophetic point of view, it started on August 23, 1953, the date assigned by certain pyramidologists to the Grand Corridor in the Great Pyramid of Egypt when it comes to a dead end against a blank wall. Since the New Age is synonymous with the Atomic Age, another date may be taken as that of the Hiroshima bomb event on August 6, 1945. Which was irrefutable evidence to the entire universe that Earth-man had entered the atomic age, for better or for worse. How long will this golden age last? The best replies seem to indicate that it will last from 800 to 1000 years. The latter figure corresponds to the millennium of the Christian Bible. In fact, the word millennium literally means a thousand-year period. The atomic age. The synonym Atomic Age refers primarily to the scientific and physical aspects of the New Age. But to regard scientific changes and progress as the entirety of the characteristics of the New Age is to underestimate the vastness and far-reaching nature of impending events. Even as regards this scientific aspect, we entered the Atomic Age backwards, so to speak. In other words, we have developed this advanced scientific knowledge on a destructive note rather than on a constructive note. At the present time, however, as this book is being written, there are many encouraging indications of man's turning to the constructive usages of this knowledge. Even though we pride ourselves greatly on this newfound scientific knowledge, there is very little to justify such pride. In the first place, it is only a rediscovery of what was known by man on this earth thousands of years ago. Secondly, our present state of unbalanced knowledge, our lack of wisdom in relation to our new scientific achievements, is a threat to all present life on this planet, mineral, vegetable, animal and human life alike. If we do not heed the warnings of our space brothers, we may turn the first part of the Golden Age into an age of destruction. This can come about through the quick suicide of an all-out atomic war, or through slow poisoning of our land, water, and atmosphere and our food sources by atomic experiments and peacetime uses of atomic energy in the form we have developed it. In the near future, mankind all around the world will have to make up its mind if it is going to trust the bland assertions of the governments and scientists now in control of atomic energy as to the harmlessness of its use in experiments and conventional war weapons and war games and in peaceful uses. Or is mankind everywhere going to wake up in time and respect and heed the warnings of the space beings whose experience, perspective and wisdom far exceed our own? Every such warning which we have investigated indicates that we have not even learned how to dispose harmlessly of atomic waste from our bomb manufacture and that we should seek other and less destructive energy differentials for peacetime uses. It is also more and more evident that our present scientific progress toward man's mastery over matter is only one step toward the ultimate goal, in which man is wisdom and love regains his direct mental control over universal energy or matter and will not misuse this power. This should be our real goal rather than that of more and more destructive atomic energy. If mankind can wake up in time and stop his concentration on the development of destructive energy, this will give us the opportunity we so badly need to search for and develop new and harmless types of universal energy which will do everything for us and more than can be expected from the destructive variety. In this constructive manner, man could go into the Golden Age with far greater scientific assistance from the spacey beings than would otherwise be possible. Our destructive tendencies are the main reasons which prevent us from receiving swift scientific help directly from these advanced beings in outer space. At present, we cannot be trusted with more knowledge. A golden age is not golden to man without his cooperation. The Cosmic Age. The synonym Cosmic Age concerns the astronomical or cosmic aspects of the New Age. A new age has an astronomical or cosmic phase which coincides with a long-term cosmic cycle. For thousands of years, our entire solar system has been speeding through space at more than 166,000 miles per hour. A body cannot move at this pace for thousands of years and not get someplace even in the vastness of outer space. We are now getting someplace, we are arriving. We are arriving at a new location in the heavens which puts us and our entire solar system under the radiation of an enormous sun. In fact, the synonym Golden Age comes from the concept of the golden radiation of this great sun. Likewise, the concepts of our entering a higher vibration or higher frequency come from this new proximity of this great sun and its radiation. It is well recognized by many scientific minds that all planetary life directly and indirectly depends upon the nature of the energy radiating from the planetary sun. In this case, both our planetary sun and all its planets will fall under this new radiation. Since this radiation is at a different frequency and has a different character than our sunlight, it will affect our entire planet and all life upon it. It will affect man physically, mentally, and spiritually. This is the astronomical or cosmic aspect of the New Age. See Chapter 27, The Earth as a Spaceship. The House Cleaning Stage. Many individuals looking upon the distressing things to be seen on the earth in our present daily CE exclaim, I do not see anything very rosy or golden about this age. In fact, the world seems to be in a terrible mess. Well, reply the students of such things, that may be so, but this new age will last for almost 1,000 years, and what you are now seeing is only the start of it. The first part is the house cleaning stage, and even this stage may last for a few centuries. The house cleaning phase, they explain, takes place in many ways, some obvious and some not so obvious. The single greatest factor in cosmic house cleaning comes about through the natural birth and death processes referred to in the previous chapter. Few people on this earth at present live to be more than 70 years of age. If there were no incoming souls for the next 70 years, the present breed of mankind now upon the earth, the type of mankind which for centuries has been responsible for the world's discords and inharmonies, this breed would be practically eliminated. In this new age, however, births will not stop, but as previously stated, the quality of the souls being born into the world will be greatly improved as a whole. There will of course be individual exceptions, but as a whole they are and will be new age souls born with what it takes physically, mentally and spiritually to do their part in producing the golden age. They will not have the resistance which their parents manifest toward that which is new, contractive, progressive, beautiful and spiritual. Spaceships, space travel, space brothers, and the brotherhood of man will be as much of a norm to them as war and destructive atom bombs are to us. This, however, is not the only factor in the cosmic house cleaning now in progress. The increasing vibratory frequencies of the new radiation coming to Earth and its severity will just naturally take its toll of those who cannot adapt themselves to it. It may be compared somewhat to going into a higher altitude, only in this case the altitude is higher both physically, mentally and spiritually. The new vibration will have the effect of intensifying whatever qualities an individual has developed. If one is inclined to anger or violence, he will find himself manifesting more anger and more violence. If one is dishonest, he will appear still more dishonest. If one is kind and loving, he will just naturally manifest greater kindness and more love. It will, thus, be increasingly difficult to conceal anything. A guilt complex or a guilty conscience will be such a liability that those who are afflicted with it will have to get rid of it if they wish to survive in the new age. In fact, the new radiation acts as a natural segregator or judgment day. Only those who have attained a certain evolvement of constructiveness, harmony and attunement with life will be able to stand the new altitude. The others will eliminate themselves from the planet, as it will simply be the wrong school for them. There is still another form of house cleaning at the start of a golden age which comes about through storms, floods, earthquakes and changes in the Earth's surface. We have never yet talked to any advanced soul who did not agree that the start of the Golden Age would have its share of these things. But that should be of no concern to the constructive-minded or to those who have learned that salvation is always individual and spiritual. The Golden Age. This synonym for the New Age applies more to the later stages of the millennium than to the initial or house-cleaning stages. It is called golden because of the purifying and elevating effect of the new radiation, and it envisions the time when the gold of divine love shall so permeate men's souls that human brotherhood will become a spiritual actuality on the earth. One interesting point to note is this. During the Golden Age, our planet, as a schoolroom, itself goes through a cosmic upgrading. For centuries it has been a type of kindergarten or grade school for slow developing, backward and even delinquent children. As the new age progresses, the backward students will be removed and the incoming progressive spirits will have their own era. The world will become more of a high school or university for these more advanced souls. The laggards will no longer interfere so effectively with the progressive pupils. The backward souls will be removed to less progressive schools or planets. Thus all will be taken care of as they deserve. In the last analysis, each individual sets his own pattern of cosmic evolution. Some choose the high road and some their long, arduous and difficult road of continuous resistance to cosmic truth and law. During the Golden Age, all branches of human knowledge will undergo vast changes for the better. The idea of brotherhood will be the keynote. There has always been plenty on earth for all, but this time it will be made available to all. Mankind itself will recognize the planet as a unit. Government, industry, education, science, religion and the arts will all be directed toward the welfare of all mankind as a whole. Killing enemies will no longer be necessary because there will be no enemies. War will cease. This age will also mark the end of the cosmic isolationism in which the Earth has lived for many centuries. We will be given a part in the cosmic councils of our solar system. Free communications, commerce and intercourse with other planets will become commonplace. Because of the purified motives of mankind, great help will literally pour down upon us from on high. That is from the space people. Man will walk with gods, that is with our more evolved brothers from outer space. They work mostly through radiations and qualifications of energy rays. They will help beam such goodness to the earth that it will be easier to vibrate to good than to vibrate to evil. In this unfoldment, physics will become metaphysics, religion and science will merge into cosmic truth, medicine will become mind, and all divisions and errors of human believing will merge into the light of understanding. Teaching and learning will undergo great advances. Transferring of conscious knowledge will be possible, and knowledge will also be drawn directly from the universal mind. Art, music and architecture will reach heights of expression and perfection never before attained on Earth. 267. All mankind will place less emphasis on the physical and more emphasis on the mental and spiritual. It will be a period of great joy and greatly accelerated progress in which many advanced individuals, with the help of their space brothers, will permanently ascend back into the higher dimensions of life, and the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea. Chapter 32. Publisher's interview with the authors. After reading the manuscript of our flying saucer pilgrimage, our publisher objected that we did not express enough conclusions. He asked if we would mind being interviewed as to our conclusions. We agreed, and the following represents a summary of stenographic notes on the interview which resulted. The symbol Q is used to designate the questions asked by our publisher's representative. Q. Helen and Brian Treve. You two certainly have had an unusual experience. We feel that many people would give a great deal to have been able to do just what you did, follow the trail of the flying saucers wherever they led. We also feel you have done a diligent, open-minded and forthright job of it. We are grateful you decided to share your pilgrimage with others and not just keep the whole thing to yourselves, as you told us you were tempted to do. However, we feel that your readers would be interested in the answers to a few questions. Would you mind if our stenographer takes notes on the proceedings? Helen Reeve. Sounds like one of those court procedures. You know, where they solemnly warn the victims that everything they say may be used against them. Bryant Reeve. Go ahead. If you have in mind any questions which were not asked us in old Mexico, all power to you. Of course, down there if the interpreter did not catch your reply, he simply made up a reply of his own and you never knew the difference. Well, I assure you this is no inquisition, only a friendly chat. Helen Reeve, may we please start with you? The first question is it actually true that spaceships and space people are coming to Earth? You realize, of course, that many people still think this is, shall we say, a magnificent obsession. HR, please realize that the main purpose of our pilgrimage was to find the answer to that question for ourselves. There was so much source of smoke that we wanted to find the fire. We found it, at least so far as we are concerned. We found, to our own satisfaction, that it is true. We know how utterly fantastic and impossible it can seem to people at first. My husband was an outstanding skeptic to start with. My attitude was, let us either prove it or disprove it and forget it. Personally, I am convinced that spaceships and space people are coming to the Earth at the present time. Q. It rather takes one's breath away. HR. Yes, it does. It can almost floor a person at first. But one gradually gets used to the idea. Q. Bryant Reeve, you are an engineer. How do you feel about it? The other spaceships are coming to Earth, sure enough, and I feel wonderful about it. I am glad we could make this trip and find out the facts for ourselves. It is hard to convey such a tremendous truth to someone else. We are not trying to convince anyone else at all. Everyone will have to learn the truth for himself, individually. There is a certain degree of receptivity that enters the picture. No receptivity, no sources. Of course, this is true in the learning of any subject. Q. Is this then just a normal truth to you now, there, fact that spaceships are coming to the Earth? HR. Yes, and it is now normal to most of our friends. Many of us have gone beyond the point where the physical manifestation of sources is the important thing. The important thing is the implications. Q. Can we save that item for later? I refer to the implications. BR. Surely. May I say this relative to learning there, actuality of sources. As we see it, the public is confused on this point for two main reasons. First, the public is used to turning to authoritative sources to lay down the truth, the law, for them on any matter. In this case, the space phenomena are simply beyond the range of the usual authorities. The authorities, while they possess much information, cannot fit it into an acceptable three-dimensional pattern to give to the public. Second, these space phenomena are not entirely three-dimensional in nature. As stated before, they have a physical aspect and a supraphysical aspect. This is just too much for most people, including the authorities. The only way we learned anything about the subject was by getting in touch with the individuals having saucer experiences, including OSC experiences. Q. The next important question is, are the beings in the spaceships friendly or hostile? BR. We are glad you asked that question. They are friendly. They are even more than that. They feel a responsibility and a duty toward the Earth and the children of Earth. Some of them, but not all of them, lived on Earth at one time or another. They are our elder brothers who have progressed to positions of cosmic responsibility as guardians of the planets. HR. In that connection, I like the point that Desmond Leslie has so often made, namely, that if they were enemies they could have wiped us out in one afternoon, long ago. Q. Then you do not think there are any hostile or ill-intentioned beings in outer space? BR. We did not say that. It is important to understand the situation. There may be some ill-intentioned beings in outer space. As we see it, outer space or consciousness unlimited can contain anything that man can conceive of. But no ill-intentioned beings can get past the guardians of our planets and of our solar system. That is why the spaceships are so important to us. Q. When you refer to sorcerers, as you call them, do you refer only to those mentioned in your manuscript? BR. No, there are many more. Some are known to the public and some are not. Many of them shun publicity. We refer to these as the unknown sorcerers. We found many of them everywhere. Q, you hint at a sorcerer underground in your manuscript. Is there such a thing? HR, yes. There is a sorcerer underground. It seems to extend around the world. A fraternity of those interested in sorcerers and having sorcerer experiences which they discuss only with kindred new age souls. Q, what do you think of science fiction and of comic strips as applied to sorcerers and space people? HR, we feel that many of the cosmic concepts they present are inspired by the space beings themselves to prepare world thought for the new age. However, the writers and artists are wrong about one thing, and that is their emphasis on war and fighting in outer space. This does more harm than good. But today's youngsters are worth observing. They have none of the resistance to cosmic ideas that their parents have. Many of them are new age souls. Q, do some of the sorcerers know about the supra-physical aspects of sorcerers but refrain from mentioning it in public? BR, yes, some of them but not all of them. They are afraid the public can't take it, and are not ready for such cosmic truths. Personally, we feel the time has come to speak up without fear or favor, let the chips fall where they may. Q, did you run across any fakes? Any fake sorcerers? BR, yes, unfortunately we did run across a few would-be sorcerers that privately we considered to be unreliable fakes, if you wish. We also discovered some obviously faked photographs. However, all of this was the exception and not the rule. In fact, it was a minor part of our total experience, but it did teach us to be careful. There is an old saying that something has to be good in order to attract imitators. Q, have you any favorite sorcerers? BR, no. They are all different with different natures, education and social status. Their experiences have been different. We feel that each and every one is doing his part in waking up humanity to the fact that other worlds are watching. HR, possibly we should bring up one thing we feel is hard to tolerate. It is for any sorcerer to hold up his own little cup of revelation and proclaim to the world, "This is it. This is all of cosmic truth. I am the only true revelator." Anyone who does that is not telling the world what cosmic truth is, but what a conceited egotist he himself is. That sort of thing is hard to take. We like the sorcerers who can say, "I don't know," on occasion. Many people think the sorcerers are motivated by money making, that the whole thing is a racket to make money by books, photographs and lectures. Would you please comment on this? HR, is it not true that certain people will always attribute ulterior motives to any activity? It is too bad that some of these people do not go and live with the sorcerers long enough to find out the truth. There is not a humanly wealthy man among the sorcerers, but some of them are spiritual giants. If anyone wants to make money, they should leave sorcerers alone, maybe try science fiction. There has been no noteworthy financial return to either the authors of sorcerer books or to sorcerer lecturers that we know of. The sincere sorcerers publicize their experiences because they feel it is a public duty for them to do so. If they break even financially, they are fortunate. One cannot make a business out of sorcerers. People have tried and failed. Always remember this. The message behind the sorcerers is an unpopular message to many people. It does not exactly pat us on the back and flatter us. There is nothing in the entire sorcerer picture that lends itself to financial exploitation. Q, we understand that most people who take an active interest in sorcerers experience their share of ridicule. Mrs. R. How did you people fare on this score? HR, we were called plenty of names, and in diverse languages. Often this happened behind our backs. One of the really terrific appellations applied to us was psychoceramics. We were referred to as psychoceramics. Q. I don't quite understand. What do you mean by that? Dot R. Psychoceramics is merely new age for crackpots. Mr. Eve. Can't we just disregard and completely ignore the entire sorcerer business? We are certainly. That is everybody's privilege. Many people do disregard it because it is too much for them. They are engrossed in material things. They do not want anything else or have time for anything else. We should not criticize them for this. We all know the story of the man who was asked why he was digging a ditch. He replied, "I dig the ditch to get the money to buy the food to get the strength to dig the ditch." That is what life is for some people. Such people automatically classify themselves as not belonging to the unfolding new age.